Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio from the 74th edition of Locarno Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of José Pablo Escamilla, director of Mostro, here in Cineasti del Presente. Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having us, and thanks for taking a time to talk to us.
First of all, would you like to introduce your film to our listeners?
Mostro is about two factory workers, their dreams, their hopes, and the true cost of capitalism in your life, how it affects you.
This is your first feature, and you also write the screenplay. Why did you decide to face these problems, this story?
Forest disappearance in Mexico is a big issue right now. It's rising, and it's rising for the bad. And I think it's a pressing subject that I want to address, and I want to portray it. Like I think film has a power in when you look at history, and I wanted to make a movie who reflected on this, and that could become like a record of what's happening right now in Mexico. So in the future, someone can look back on what was happening in 2020, 2021 in Mexico. I think it's important that we are empathetic with each other. And it has a lot of layers, you know, because they are working in a factory, and I believe it's important to see the faces of the people who work so hard in order to give us the life that we are living, and the products and the style of living that we have, because this goes unnoticed. Every time you go to a shop, every time you go to the supermarket or whatever, and I think it's something that we need to reflect upon, because maybe we are doing things with our way of consuming, and these things can provoke bad economic situations, or you know, like we want to be, we have to be more responsible on our way of consuming, I think. And this is a protest too about what's happening in Mexico, and it's a protest. It's a protest for like this abstract entity, which is the capitalism and the system, and that's why it's called Monstro, because monster is something that is bigger than you, that you can't see their face, their many faces, because it has a lot of faces and a lot of different perspectives and different ways in which it hits you and attacks you in many violent ways. So yeah, that's the main themes, the main reasons we did this. And I have a personal connection. I worked in a factory when I was 15, 16, 17. Like all my summers I spent working on a factory, because I was a really spoiled kid. Working there for me was a big, it hit me really, really hard, because I got to be empathetic, you know, from like, for instance, the physical stress in which a blue collar worker is living every day. It's really something that we need to talk about too, because the production line is really demanding in order in terms of rhythm, and you never can be behind, and it's something violent inside the factory. Is like you like the message that you are receiving every time is that you can't be left behind by capitalism or by this economic developing, which only develops for some people in the world and not the least privileged. And it was a big answer.
What I really like about your film is, let's say, the opposition between these visual moments and on the other side, you know, the work in the factory, the alienation, the absence of colors that you don't have. And did you imagine this while you were writing it? And how did you work on the, you know, the trip scenes, let's say?
Well, it's a really contrasting aspect, and I'm glad you noticed, because but it's not that prepared, this is a fiction film, but the way we did it, it's more closely related to documentary style. So we were working with reality and trying to manipulate it a little bit in order for that, so that we could enter organically to this world and not try to pamper anything so much. I don't know if pamper is the word, but to manipulate reality. You know, it was like, okay, so in the factory, this is the light that we're shooting with. Okay, let's go. Let's do it. And afterwards, we saw that, oh, this is a really monochromatic, like the colors are really not that luminous, not that bright. And we wanted to make this this contrast of this awakened world and the subconscious world, which is, I guess, for the kids, these kids, their only way of achieving some sort of freedom inside their minds and inside their everyday life, you know. So that's why they are always going back.
You also talk about the disappearance of women in Mexico is a thing that worried most of the women, the mothers, not the men.
There are really big support groups in Mexico called rastreadoras, which are mothers, sisters, wives, daughters that are looking for their loved ones, but they are mainly women. I mean, there are some families and men also are working on this, but it hit me that they were mostly, when we made our research, that's what we come upon. So I was like, okay, and then you go to the factories and you see that the main population on factories is female. Mm-hmm. They are women. It's crazy because they have triple responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they are mothers, single mothers, and sometimes they go to work and then they have to go and look for their deceased ones on their free time. So it's a really complicated situation. And right now they are being prosecuted by some groups because they tend to find some connections between criminal groups and local police or this kind of thing. Like these ominous connections between people and crime. And I think it's really important to talk about this and to ask ourselves, why is there only women, you know? We wanted to make a comment on this with the personality of the characters, you know? She's the stronger character in the movie. And this was something we made on purpose. Because I wanted to portray not this victimized character, like, she's suffering from something, but that doesn't mean that she's weak or no. It's a complicated thing, because it's systematic violence. But her character is super strong, and she's like that in her life, you know, like, she's this kind of new contemporary witch. if you may call it like that, like, she's an artist, she's really creative, and I wanted to take this and put it in a context of factory workers, which often are working since their childhoods, and they don't have much of social and education developing. So they tend to be more constricted, more shy, more like they under deserving, or I don't know if that's a word, but like they don't think they are deserving anything, you know, because they normalize their precariousness, you know. Often they don't have much friends other than their families or people who they are working with, but they don't have much time to socialize, you know, only on weekends. But it's really, really stressful for the body to work in a factory. So the days that you don't have to work, you spend them just resting or doing the other responsibilities that you couldn't do because you were working. And This is a question that I ask myself all the time, that am I working to live or am I living to work? And I guess we need to change that relationship too, that but it's really difficult. Like a couple of weeks ago I was looking to some article that said that Mexicans are one of the countries where we work most hours, more hours, and I don't think this is really good. I think it's really bad, because it talks about how precarious is the work that we are doing. You know, we have to work a lot and earn very little, and this is problematic for me. Because then you see people winning a lot of money because they are part of big and rich families, and they have social connections, and everything is easier for them. And I'm sort of including myself in this population, because I am really privileged, you know. That I mean, I come from a middle class family, but in Mexico this is being really like rich, you know. Like I got the possibility of having an education and having some free time to develop my personality, but there's a lot of people who doesn't get this chance. And yeah, I think it's important also to know it and know. To know that having a camera and being able to film a movie, it's a big privilege. Mm-hmm. And sometimes filmmakers we don't realize this, and we're just trying to, I don't know what, but we're trying to do it, like to develop our art. Mm-hmm. But when you only look at yourself, it's really difficult that your art can flower, you know.
What the cinema can do to put into the light these problems?
I've always believed that cinema is a mirror to life. This big screen is mirroring our own lives, our own perspectives, and they are offering us new perspectives to see everyday life, but on other person's eyes, you know. And I think this is really powerful. Like whenever I watch a film, I feel that I have more experience in my head. Yeah, I guess our responsibility is to achieve this empathy, this social and political empathy with the other. Because one of the things of this which we are saying in this movie is, if we are not together, then we don't exist. No, if we are separated, then we don't exist to anyone. So, yeah.
We disappear.
Yeah, yeah, like exactly.
Thank you very much, José Pablo Escamilla, director of Mostro, in competition at Cineasti del Presente, the 74th edition of Locarno Film Festival, and I'm Federica Scarpa for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.